What's up? This is Kinsley, and you're listening to the Curls and Courage podcast. What's up, you guys, and welcome to the 22nd episode of the Curls and Courage podcast. I'm your host, Kinsley Meeks, mental health advocate, coach, and athlete, really just aiming to inspire you to reach your highest physical and mental potential. I really appreciate all the support that I get on this podcast. I appreciate you tuning in. If you're a new listener here, I created this podcast a few months ago in hopes to help you on your physical and mental health journey. In this show, we talk all things fitness, nutrition, mental health, entrepreneurship, mindset, relationships, faith, and so much more. If you're a frequent listener, I appreciate you so, so much. Again, the support just means a lot to me on this show. It's a lot of fun to make. So in today's episode, I'm going to be answering your questions. Last week, I put a question box up on my Instagram, my business account, and on just my regular account, as well as my Facebook story, asking you guys to drop questions on anything that you feel like I could answer on today's show. I'm excited. Like I said, I did receive a few interesting questions, some that are more fitness and health based, some that are just more about me and my personal life. So I love sharing my personal experiences, my advice, my knowledge with you. And again, I received some great questions. I'm trying to be more open and more vulnerable throughout the course of my life. It's something I've always struggled with in the past. I discussed this a little bit in my 20th episode of the podcast. It was titled What I Am Learning and Working to Improve in My 20s. Be sure you check it out if you missed it. That one was also a cool one to film, and I think it gave a lot of value and a lot of insight. But on that episode, I discussed, okay, I want to be more open. I want to be more vulnerable, and I think there's a lot of power in that, and I think being vulnerable demonstrates a lot of courage and a lot of strength. So I want to try to be as honest and as open as I can with you guys on these questions. I feel that social media can be so unrealistic and fake sometimes, so I'm going to make sure I keep it real with you. I hope this episode provides you with a lot of value and some joy too. Before I introduce just the first question that I received, I want to give you just a brief update on me and currently where I'm at in this season of life. Again, so if you follow up on my journey and what I do, I am about 2 weeks out when you're listening to this episode from my national level bodybuilding competition. It's in New Jersey. We're going to go stay in a couple days in New York after me, my mom, and my brother. So I'm super excited about that. I do feel like my physique has progressed a lot in the past couple of weeks, but still my mindset, I'm not feeling super confident in the way that I look. I am very hard on myself. I'm sure a lot of you can relate. I am my own biggest critic. I'm always very judgmental of the way that I look. I like to make sure I'm giving my 100%, and I like to make sure that I am obviously looking the best that I can when I'm on stage, because there is a lot of competition. I feel like bodybuilding, the sport, is growing, which is great, but there's a lot of really good athletes out there. So all I can really do is bring my best. The sport can be a bit subjective sometimes, but just going to make sure I am, you know, giving my best leading into the next 2 weeks, working hard, training my butt off, doing a lot of cardio and eating pretty low calories, not much fat, not much carbs, keeping the protein high, but we're pushing through. So excited for what's to come in the next 2 weeks. Make sure you guys follow up on my journey again if you're not already. The event is actually super cool too. You can also live stream it if you're not going to be in New Jersey or in New York in that area. The support would mean a lot to me on that one. Other than that though, just working hard in my business. I have a lot of cool things going on, exciting projects that I'm working on with work, and then just trying to rest as much as possible and keep my mental health where it should be, because that gets hard for me. You know, the leaner I get tired, I get moody sometimes, but I'm just trying to stay positive like the rest of you and keep pushing forward. So wanted to give you a brief update on what I'm currently doing, what's going on in my life. Hope you all are doing well and pursuing your fitness and health goals, pursuing your business goals, pursuing your relationship goals, whatever it may be. Know that I support you, know that I love you, and I encourage you 100%. With that being said, let's go ahead and hop into the first question of today. So we'll see how many of these that I can get through without being super, super long on this podcast episode. So number one, what is your current training split? Currently, I am training 5 days a week. I do cardio every single day. My training split with strength training is day one, I train shoulders, triceps, and upper chest. Day two, I train legs. It's always more of a glute and hamstring based workout. Day three, I train my back and my biceps. Day four, I rest. Day five, I go back in again and I hit shoulders, triceps, and upper chest. Day six, on Saturdays, that's my leg day. Again, I keep it more glute and hamstring focused. And then day seven, I rest. So it's a pretty basic bodybuilding split. It's what works well for me. I feel like training legs twice a week is perfect because any more than that, I just wouldn't be able to recover. I destroy my legs. I make sure I hit every muscle group twice a week other than my back, just because it's the muscle group I feel like I need the least amount of development in. And for the bikini division, back isn't a super big thing that they look at. However, it still is important to have a good frame when you're in your front pose for your lat development and making sure that, you know, a little bit of back thickness is there, but it's just not as crucial. And again, it's one of my stronger points. So that is the only muscle group I don't train twice a week. Sometimes I'll throw in a little bit of mobility for my back and a little bit of like accessory work, just because I get a lot of pain more in my upper back, especially like in my traps and my rhomboids and my rear delts. They get super tight and super achy. So sometimes I'll do a little bit of functionality and mobility work. But as far as strength training, that is the way that I currently have my split. Question number two. You talk a lot about the challenges and cons of living in Miami. Are you happy you made the move? Okay, good question. So I would say yes, and I'll tell you why. Yes, there are many challenges and there are a lot of negatives that comes with living in Miami. A lot of people who probably see me on social media think I'm thriving and it's so like rainbows and sunshines all the time. There is a lot of sunshine, but it's not always rainbows. And what I mean by that is living in this city is difficult for a multitude of reasons. You know, I'm away from my family. It's extremely expensive. It's extremely flashy, and I find that it's superficial. It's hard to find a good community here. It's a melting pot of culture, which can also be really hard to connect with individuals, and especially with the Spanish culture and Latino culture being so wide here. I don't even speak Spanish, so sometimes it can be hard to communicate. It can be hard to get around because there's a ton of traffic. There's a ton of people. It's just there's a lot going on. It can be very crazy. However, with that being said, the reason I'm happy I made the move is because it's really helped me grow. It's helped me grow in my career and my bodybuilding. It's helped me grow just in general as a person. It's exposed me to new culture and new ideas and new people that I've had to learn how to get along with and how to connect with in the best way that I can. It's helped me learn how to be independent, living on my own. I have to make sure I'm working very hard every single day just to survive, just to be able to pay my bills, to be able to run my business the way that I want to and expand. And again, my bodybuilding career. Moving to Miami has taught me to learn new things, to try new things, and really just to get to know myself has been a plus too. Living alone and living in such a big city where you're a bit isolated forces you to get to know yourself and what you have to do to stay mentally strong. So I really advise anyone wanting to move to a new place or visit a new city. I think it can really help you change your perspective and become smarter and grow in a lot of different areas. So definitely happy I made the move, but I don't see myself here long term. Question number three, I want to become a trainer like you. How did you start coaching and posting content that you thought would help others? Again, great question. So first off, I support you 100% in becoming a trainer. It can be a difficult job, but it's very fulfilling. So I hope all goes well for you. If you need any additional support on that, you can always send me an email at kinsleymeeksfit@gmail.com or reach out to me on Instagram. But let me answer your question. So I started coaching late 2020. I discussed this on some of my previous episodes, but I'm going to try to keep it short. I worked at a small town gym in Mobile, Alabama. I worked under the coach that I currently have. He gave me some clients, but I really brought in most of my own clients. I would say I had maybe between two to three that were under him, and the rest were all my own. So it was difficult to build up my clientele, but once I did that, I really enjoyed it. Again, I found it very fulfilling. I've always been super passionate about fitness and nutrition and helping others. So once I got my certification and just did a lot of research and gained some experience, I feel that really helped me grow in my knowledge in my career. After I'd worked at that small town gym for 2 years, I want to say, that's when I moved to Miami and work completely independently now and work online and in person as a coach. I would say as far as the content goes, that's something I've recently gotten more into, I would say, over the past year. I think social media can be a good thing and a bad thing, but if you're wanting to grow a business, social media is a must. my content strategy for right now, I'm looking into hiring a company as an investment to work with me. But what I do right now with my content is I try to keep it a couple different things. Anytime I put something out there, number one, I would say you need to make sure you're staying true to yourself. I don't follow what anyone else is doing. I don't follow what I feel like will be super popular. I follow what I feel like I can provide value with and what keeps me true as a person. I'm never going to be fake on social media. Of course, I edit some of my photos. I try to make myself look good. I try to make my reels look nice, but they're real and they're raw, to be honest. So I make my content true. Number two, I make my content one of these, I would say four things, either educational, motivational, inspiring, or just providing value. You always want to make sure you put the content out there. Isn't just, hey, look at me. I like to make my content, okay, I'm giving back to the world and I want to really share who I am and what has helped me and hopefully help people learn from my experiences. I post a lot of content around, of course, fitness and nutrition, helpful nutrition tips, workout strategies, what I do in my bodybuilding prep, questions that I receive from clients that I like to share on my socials, demonstrations for exercises and what I currently eat, things like that. I like doing the content though. It's a lot of fun. It can be difficult sometimes, but I do the best that I can with it. Another thing I do that I would advise to you, love, is just listen to your audience. And that could be online or in person. You know, if you have a client for, say, in person, you just started coaching, you just started becoming a trainer, really listen to what your client wants, what their goals and needs are, and really spend some time thinking, okay, how can I create the best plan to get this client towards their goals? Something that they can adhere to, something that they feel confident in the program and in me and my ability. Okay. And then with the content and social media side of things, post polls, post Q&As, listen to your audience. When they say, hey, I really want you to talk more about the importance of protein, I would recommend, okay, I'm going to make sure I post this week about what my top protein sources are, why protein is important, what I currently do with my protein strategy. That's just an example, but definitely listen to the audience and listen to the people that support you. Let me know again if you have any more questions on that one. Question number four. Okay, are you currently dating? Good question. So I would say it's something I'm trying to be a bit more open to. I've always been very business oriented and very goal focused and very driven. I don't make a ton of time for relationships in that way, like romantically, because I think that takes up a lot of time and space and mental capacity that, to be honest with y'all, I just don't always have the space to give. However, it is something I'm being more open to now. So if a guy that I was very interested in were to ask me out, I would probably say yes, but that just really hasn't happened yet. I think in Miami, the dating scene is crazy. There's a lot of guys that I'm not so interested in here, people who are either just trying to hook up or use you for something or just don't have the best intentions. But again, I'm not currently dating anyone, but if the opportunity arose and I was interested, it's definitely something I would consider. Fun fact about me, I actually haven't been on a date in, I would say, 3 years. So it's been a long time. I've only had one very serious relationship. So yeah, question number five, what is the best way to get a six pack? The best way to get a six pack, I would say number one is just adherence to nutrition. In order to see abdominal development, you have to be at a pretty low body fat percentage, especially as a female. I typically do not have abs year round. Once I am, I would say, 3 or 4 weeks into prep, that's when I start to see some lines in my midsection go through. And then, of course, now as I get more lean, I'm, 2 weeks out, you can see the six pack. You can see that I look pretty shredded, but it's not always like that. But the reason that you can see these abs is, again, because I am very lean right now. So what I mean by adherence to nutrition is you have to make sure that you are following your nutrition protocol, sticking to whole foods. Most likely you're going to be pretty low in carbohydrates and fats. Most likely you're going to be in a caloric deficit if you're having a six pack, especially if that's something that's super prominent. So making sure that your diet is very, very clean is number one. Abs are made in the kitchen. Number two, I'll go over my best ab exercises, my top favorites. I do think that abs are like any other muscle group. You do need to train them directly. So you train your abdominals and your overall core strength doing most exercises. All movement originates from the core. So whether you're doing a deadlift, you're doing a squat, or even doing like a standing bicep curl, you're still engaging your core and your abdominals to some extent. So you're getting some work there, but it's not direct. So I would say some ab exercises that I really like to train my abdominals and recommend to my clients as well would be some type of leg raise variation. So either a hanging leg raise or a captain's chair leg raise. Those are awesome, or just a lying leg raise. And then some crunch variation. So maybe it's like a stability ball crunch, or maybe a reverse crunch, or maybe a decline crunch. Something like that that's really going to hit that lower abdominal region well. I feel like upper abs are a little bit easier to develop. Those lower abs are hardest. And then another thing, this is not necessarily the abs that you can see, but as far as just to get a better midsection, I am a huge fan of doing stomach vacuums. Stomach vacuums train your transverse abdominis, which is going to be the deepest of your ab muscles, the ones that you don't see on top. And when you train those muscles, not only can it help you with your, I would say, overall look of your midsection, it makes it look tighter. It also helps you, to me, like with your breathing patterns and control within your abdominals and midsection. I think that that can make your midsection appear to look better and smaller. So I do stomach vacuums every single day. I typically do 10 rounds of 20 seconds, and I've been doing that for years now. I find that that's been really helpful for me and my overall physique for my core and my abdominals, and that's something I also recommend to you and the clientele that I have. Next question, what is the hardest part about being a bodybuilder? Okay, so I love being a bodybuilder, but it is extremely difficult. I would say the hardest part to me is not the diet, is not the cardio, is not the training. All of that comes within wanting to be the best at what you do. The hardest part to me is the work on top of prep. A lot of people have this misconception that bodybuilding is my job, or bodybuilding is a pro's job, and usually it's not. You know, I work very hard. I don't get paid to bodybuild at all. I get paid zero money for that, and I work very hard at it. I put a lot of time and sacrifice into it. So working on top of prep, even though you feel really crappy because you're not sleeping very well, your energy is very low, you're not eating very much, sometimes you're moody, but having to show up every day in person and be the best that I can for my athletes and my clientele and my family and my friends is definitely the hardest part. Having to really fake that mood, I would say, being happy and being cheerful, because that's what a trainer does. They're motivating, they're happy. But at the end of the day, I'm human, especially when I'm dieting. I'm not always happy, and I'm not always having this ball of energy. You know, people are like, oh my gosh, you have so much energy all the time. No, I don't have that much energy. Usually I'm just faking it very well. So that, I would say, on top of just the energy levels and again, lack of sleep. And then lastly, I would say the competition's not going your way can be really detrimental to your mental health. You know, when you bodybuild, you're sitting up on stage or you're standing up on stage being compared to other people. So it can really get to your head sometimes, especially if you feel that you've really put your all into a prep, but you don't place very well. That's happened to me several times. But the judges don't know, truthfully, how much work that you've put in. You may have worked way harder to the person to your left. They may have cheated on their diet 5 times, but they still win. The judges don't know that, and it doesn't really matter. It's not about the hardest worker. It's about who the judges feel looks the best on that day. So it can be subjective. Learning how to bounce back from the situations that you may find unfair or the subjectiveness of the sport is very difficult and something that I struggle with, but I just get better with it with time. When you compete more and more, you learn how to balance the things that I just spoke over. All right, question number 7. You have spoken a lot on your challenges with mental health, specifically anxiety and depression. What is your advice for supporting someone you love experiencing depression and mental health problems? So, first off, thank you for this question. Mental health is very near and dear to my heart. It's something that is a big part of my brand and just who I am. For your loved one who is experiencing that, or anyone out there who is experiencing mental health issues, please know that if you need any extra support, you can always reach out to me. I can tell you my personal experience, and I will keep you in my thoughts and my prayers. My heart really does go out there to anyone struggling with that, especially depression. That can be really hard. So I would say supporting someone going through this hard time is vital. Going through depression and any mental health issue alone makes things so much worse, and it really makes it hard to just function and do anything at all. So number one, I would say be understanding and be willing to listen to your friend or your partner or whoever is going through that hard time. just be understanding and ask them, you know, how can I help? It's completely individualized, but a lot of times people don't want to ask for help, but if someone's offering it, it can make them seem like less of a burden. And that's something that I found from my experience. So think about, okay, how can I make their life easier and less stressful? Because when you are going through depression, everything seems like a chore. It's hard to brush your teeth. It's hard to go to the gym. It's hard to tie your shoe. It's hard to breathe. It's hard to do anything. So anything that you can do to make their life less stressful and just support them is great. I would also encourage them just to keep fighting. Sometimes they maybe need someone to listen to, but sometimes they also need that, hey, like, you got this. I'm supporting you. We're gonna get through this. Make sure that they are still taking care of themselves and just creating small habits every day to get better. So maybe you are sending them motivational quotes every day, or encouraging them to stay strong in their faith, or taking them to go walk the dog outside, or going with them to the gym, or anything like that that helps keep them motivated. Next, how do you manage your stress? Like, what are your best tips for lowering cortisol levels and feeling at peace? I would say I am someone who gets stressed, but I have a lot of stress on my plate, and I'm decent at managing it. It is hard for me to feel at peace sometimes, but that's another thing I'm working on this year. So first, I would say I'm very organized and I manage my time well. To manage my stress, I make sure that I make a list of, okay, what do I have to get done on this day? And once I have all of those tasks done, I don't second guess myself. I don't go back and look at it and think, what can I do more? I move on and I get ready for the next day. So staying organized and making lists and managing time well is something that really, really helps. Don't second guess yourself. Don't waste time on unnecessary things. Next, I try not to stress about things that I cannot control. A lot of times there's situations that happen in life that are really down and you don't expect and you have to change your whole day. I've learned that happens a lot here in Miami because it's a crazy city, and especially in my business. As a trainer, people cancel, people go out of town, they get sick. So learning how to adapt and not stress about things that you really can't control. Thirdly, and this is the most important thing, I pray. I stay strong in my faith. I ask God, hey, can you help me with this hard situation? Can you help me manage my stress? The Lord has been there with me through very tough times and still continues to be that. So staying strong in my faith is always number one. Two more things, I guess. I try to make the time for things I enjoy, things that don't give me stress. So maybe listening to music, reaching out to people I trust, going to the beach. Another thing I do is, not every single day, but I do smoke THC a couple times a month. I try not to do it super often, but if I'm feeling stressed, I will smoke. And that can help me kind of just take my mind off of things and help me kind of relax my brain. I find that it really helps me with anxiety. Not putting this habit on anyone, and I may get some kind of weird thoughts on these, but it's something that I truly do and that I think helps. Even like CBD can be great. THC, even if you want to do gummies or oils or edibles or something like that, can be really helpful for calming down your mind. I just wouldn't like get in a huge habit of it. Breathing techniques can be super helpful for managing stress, and taking cold or hot showers is something that really helps me as well. Question number 9, are you accepting guests on your podcast? Also, who would you have on your show if you could choose anyone? Ooh, I like this question. I'm not having guests on yet, but I am having guests on very, very soon. There's actually a link in the show notes if you want to click on that. I do have a wait list right now for guests, so go ahead and click the show notes. And if you know anyone who's interested in coming on the show, or you want to be a guest on the show, make sure you click on that link again, or you can just shoot me an email and I will get back to you. Definitely want to have guests on soon, and I have a lot of special things planned in that realm. But if I could choose anyone, and this is shooting for the stars, but you asked for it, there are a lot of amazing people that I look up to that are a lot bigger than me, have a lot more following than me, a lot more, I guess, knowledge than me in most areas. But these are people that I really, really look up to. So in no specific order, I would say Andrew Huberman is one that I love. He is a neuroscientist, extremely brilliant, extremely helpful and intelligent. You can tell this man is passionate about what he does, and also just provides a lot of knowledge and a lot of educational value for free on mental health, on fitness, on nutrition, on well-being, a lot of different areas. Definitely check out his show. He has a podcast as well. Another one is Mari Llewellyn. She has an amazing podcast called The Pursuit of Wellness. I listen to her podcast a lot. She is an amazing female entrepreneur. She started a company called Bloom. It's a supplement company that has helped a lot of people. She has a very cool story, and I just like the vulnerability that she has on her show. I'm a big fan of the content that she puts out, and she seems to be just a very genuine person. And I look up to any female entrepreneurs. She has a very cool story, and I can definitely relate to her on a lot of different levels. Another two I really like, Loralee Chapados and Phoebe Hagen. They are two sweet girls. I've met them both in person. They are very high-level bikini competitors. They also have a podcast called Say More, where they talk all things, you know, bikini prep, personal life. Same thing, I relate to them. A lot of different things that they are going through from a competitor's standpoint, and just they seem like super sweet girls and people who are very like-minded. So I think they would be amazing to have on the show. Next ones, I would say Courtney King and Melissa Valerie. They have a podcast called Giver. They are amazing. They seem, again, just people I'm like, okay, I would love to have a conversation with y'all. They are so open about what they're going through. They have a lot of amazing advice on gut health and relationships and female health overall, and just mental health, and a lot of their stories and struggles that they've gone through in the fitness industry, I can definitely relate to. Same thing kind of in that family, Chris Bumstead, Ian Valerie, very good people in the bodybuilding space that I'd love to have on. Extremely high-level competitors. They are awesome. Sadie Robertson would be cool. She is one of the Christian podcasts that I listen to. She's awesome. Emily Hayden would be a great one. Emily Hayden is a IFBB pro. She puts out a lot of very good wellness content too. Tony Robbins is an amazing speaker. He would be great. Mark Hyman or Joe Dispenza, two awesome doctors that provide a lot of educational value too. I could keep going all day, but I'll probably just stop it there because I don't want to bore you guys. Most of these people do have content and do have podcasts though, so I really encourage that you check them out. Question 10, what is your workout playlist? Okay, so I love music. Music has been a passion of mine for a pretty long time. Not that I like write music or anything, but I really respect people who do, and I think music can really bring people together and make you feel some type of way emotionally. So I love music. I listen to a variety of music. The only music I don't really like is like hard rock or country. I really don't vibe with those. When I work out, I typically listen to either like EDM, dance music, a little bit of house, or I'll listen to like some hard like punk rap or like hip hop songs. A lot of times I'll do throwback. I'm talking like Kesha, I'm talking about Ludacris, I'm talking about Lil Wayne. I'll have to post some of my most recently listened to music on my story next time for you guys, because I don't have a specific workout playlist, but I listen to just a variety of songs, stuff that gets me hype and gets me motivated when I am training. I'll do just a couple more. Question number 11, we'll do maybe like two or three more. This person says, I feel like I am working really hard in the gym and doing all of the right things, but I'm still not progressing like I think I should be. I strength train 4 times per week. I walk 10,000 steps a day. I jog for 30 minutes 2 to 3 times weekly. My diet isn't perfect, but I make a conscious effort to eat healthy whole foods as much as I can. Do you have any idea on what I could be missing? Thank you so much for this. This is more of a detailed question. So to be honest with you, I need a little bit more insight on your lifestyle, your nutritional habits, and like what type of strength training you're doing and the intensity of that. So if I can help you in any way with some coaching or just with some insight on that, you can send me a message and I will get back to you. But based off the little information that I have from you here, I would say number one is going to be your diet. You say you make a conscious effort to eat healthy, but like, what does that truly mean? You know, making sure that always you're sticking to a high protein diet. I recommend for all of my girls out there, making sure that you are feeding your body, like you said, with mostly whole foods, really limiting the processed crap. We talk about that on my last week's podcast episode. Check that one out too. That one was so crazy. A lot of insight on that one. That was episode number 21. That should help you if you have any question on processed food, but sounds like you're making an effort, which is great, but you just have to make sure that you're eating not too little and not too much. You know, if you want to build muscle, you would probably want to stay in a slight caloric surplus. If you want to lose fat and see more muscularity show, I would say you probably want to be more in a caloric deficit. So making sure that you're monitoring your calories, making sure that you're making healthy macro choices, again, with the high protein and the right amount of carbohydrates and fats for your body. I couldn't tell you based off of of this limited information. Secondly, I would say you're in the gym 4 times a week. I think that's great. I would try to do maybe like an upper lower split, depending on what your exact goals are. And I would say you need to make sure your intensity is high when you're in the gym. So you're in the gym 4 times a week, but what are you actually doing with that time? Making sure you're executing every rep that you do with purpose and intention, really keeping the intensity high, pushing hard with the resistance, feeling your muscles contract every single rep is super important. And then also maybe you're just not giving it enough time and consistency. So progression to see a drastic transformation just takes time. It can't just be 1 or 2 months. It takes honestly multiple months, if not years, to make a drastic transformation and just being consistent with that. So keep up your hard work. Again, if I can give you any more detail on this, feel free to reach out to me and we can set up a call. But yeah, I would say those three things: more detail on nutrition, make sure you're eating the right amount of calories. I would track your food and focus on the macros. Number two, make sure that your strength training is intense. Make sure your cardio sessions are hard. And then number three, give yourself enough time, consistency, and monitor your progress too. Okay, I know this is getting a little bit long, so we'll do just one more. Question number 12, last one, something outside of that fitness realm. What do you like to do for fun, like outside of going to the gym? Okay, this person obviously knows me. The gym is fun for me. I like working hard. I like pushing myself. There's nothing much more fun than taking like 5 plates, loading it up on the leg press, forgetting about my problems, and just pushing that shit. But if I'm not in the gym, I do try to make more time for fun. So I'm not someone who likes to go out a lot or club. I'm pretty chill. I'm pretty down to earth. I don't like to be around like a ton of people for the most part. So I love to just go to the beach. I love to swim, be out in the sun. I love music, just to sit down with someone that I truly like, care about, one of my friends, one of my family members, and just listen to some good music, dance a little bit. I love to be with my family. That's another thing. They're awesome. And I love to travel. I love to go new places. I love to meet new people. I love to go places that I've never been before and just experience like new things. And yeah, this was fun. So if there's any questions that I missed that you guys really would like me to cover, I know I didn't get to all of them, but I tried to get through some that I thought would really be beneficial for my audience, for you. But if there's anything else that you have, any questions, I'll definitely do this again in a couple of weeks, just a regular Q&A, and I'll answer whatever questions you guys need. But all this being said, I hope that this gave you some insight more on my personal life, more on fitness and nutrition, more on mental health and who I am again as a person. So I want to thank you guys for listening to this 22nd episode. If you did enjoy the show, if these questions did bring a smile to your face or give something back to you, please be sure to rate the show, to follow the show, and review the show. This support is very important to me. It helps my podcast grow, and it helps me be encouraged to continue putting this content out for you, which I love to do. So again, please be sure to show it some love. It would mean a lot to me. If you are interested in one-on-one coaching, nutrition, training, posing, please be sure to reach out to me. You can send me an email. Again, that email is kinsleymeeksfit@gmail.com, or you can visit my website, kinsleymeeks.com, or just send me an Instagram DM, yoitskinsla, or fitness4fortitude is my business account. Usually at the end of every episode, last thing, I take a question from a frequent listener, but already answered just like 12, 13 questions. So I'm not going to answer anymore. I feel like that's enough of the questions today, but we'll definitely go back to our normal voice note format at the end of every episode if I'm not doing a Q&A segment as I did this episode. I really appreciate you guys, again, listening to this show and supporting me on my fitness journey. Please know that I support you on your fitness journey and your health goals and just your overall life. I hope that you all have a wonderful rest of your Thursday. Wishing you blessings, wishing you peace and phenomenal mental health, phenomenal physical health, and good relationships, of course, too. Be kind to others, be kind to yourself, and I will talk to you guys next week. Have a great rest of your day.